Thank you, Mr. Samblin. You kind of caught me off guard there. Wasn't ready to come up here yet, but that's all right. Hopefully we don't have more technical difficulties because I'm going to try to display slides. And this is the first time I've tried to do that from up here, I think. So we'll see. Okay, yeah, so we're going to be talking about self-control today. Self-control. I appreciated the sermonette by Mr. Abbott. I think that'll dovetail into self-control a little bit here. And that analogy, thanks, Robert, that analogy was really good. I was worried I wasn't going to be able to break the stick, so I'm glad I was able to do that. Glad you picked one sufficiently dry. But the analogy fails in the fact that I am no way a jogger. So maybe a chunky donut-loving person was hanging on to that branch. In today's sermon, we're going to learn about biblical self-control. But we're also going to go through the inner workings of the study that made up this message. And I'm going to do this, and hopefully it won't put anybody to sleep, but we're going to do this so if somebody is out there and is looking for a tool to possibly Bible study themselves with, it's my hope that they get some pointers through going through some of the things that I demonstrate that I've done here in this sermon. So we're going to learn more fully about biblical self-control, and we're going to learn tools on a topical biblical word study, Bible study, that hopefully you guys can employ out there if you want to. The first passage many people think on as self-control is probably Galatians 5:22 and 23, because it's one of the fruits of God's Spirit. And that's why it's so important that we learn how to develop self-control in our life, is we must be able to develop these fruits of God's Spirit within us. Some translations translate self-control here in Galatians 5:23 as temperance, so your Bible translation might have that as temperance. Temperance is a noun. It's a defined as moderation in action, thought, or feeling. And a synonym for temperance is restraint. That was taken from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. We're going to come back to that synonym here in a few minutes. The Greek word for self-control in Galatians that was used there is Strong's 1466. And those who know how to speak Greek, I apologize. And in fact, I think I might just use an audio aid, Robert. So bear with me. I might try, because we're going to pronounce a few Greek and Hebrew words up here. And so I might just let the internet do it for me. That's not me. All right. So we're going to get my phone to translate this at what I would pronounce akratia. So, I like it. Let's see if we can get the phone to do it.
Strong's G, 1466. Akratia.
Good job. Thanks.
He's speaking it with an American accent.
Yes, he is.
That Aristotle in cowboy boots.
Right. Well, we might need to get Randy up here like I came up for the sermonette. So the Strong's Concordance and lexicons are a good way to learn about biblical definitions of words. If anybody doesn't have one, this is a copy of one I've got, the Strong's Complete Dictionary of Bible Words. And for word study Bible studies, books like this are quite helpful. But all these resources are online now. The website that I just pulled that pronunciation up from is Blue Letter Bible. And that's a very helpful tool for finding all the Strong's entries and then being able to use that as a lexicon and finding everywhere that these Strong's words are throughout the Bible. So I encourage people, if you're doing a word study, go to a Strong's concordance or lexicon, either in the book, if you're more comfortable that way, or online. This book used is only about $10 for sale online, so it's pretty affordable. Online options are free. So, Blue Letter Bible is a good one to go to. This Strong's word is found in three passages, Galatians 5:23, Acts 24:25, and 2 Peter 1:6. And let's go ahead and look at the entry in 2 Peter 1:6 together. Let's read 2 Peter 1, verses, we'll read verses 1 through 6. And we'll start in verse 1. So, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and Jesus our Lord, and his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which having been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, like we heard in the sermonette, letting go of that stuff. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. But we'll go ahead and finish it out. To godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So we see here that we add different parts of God's nature to us. It's additive. To faith, we add virtue. To virtue, we add knowledge. And to knowledge, we add self-control. So our knowledge and understanding of this Bible should lead us to self-control. Just our ongoing study and growth in this walk with God should be leading us to self-control as we understand more and more of the Bible. So there's a couple derivatives in the New Testament of that same Greek word, and I'll use the Strong's numbers throughout this sermon. So I don't have to butcher the Greek and Hebrew words. Greek G1467 is found in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and 25, verse 25 of that chapter. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. This is where it's translated temperate, in all things. So we're supposed to run our Christian race like a self-controlled top athlete. And we know top athletes are very self-controlled about what they put in and when they exercise and sticking to a regime so that they can win whatever they're competing for. Another location a derivative is in G1468 in Titus 1, verses 7 through 9. And I'll pick out verse 8 here. But hospitable, a lover of what is good. This is describing an elder. A lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So we see here one of the characteristics of elders is to be self-controlled. But that's about it in the New Testament. There's a little bit more. Those three derivations of self-control are found in a few passages in the Bible. In the New King James, self-control is only found seven times in the New Testament, in the New King James. So how can we discuss this further and build upon this concept? And if you were studying the Bible and wanted to learn about self-control, what could you do to learn a little bit more? It's a fruit of God's Spirit. Don't you think the Bible would inform us a little bit more about this central concept of the fruit of God's Spirit? Well, it turns out it does, or else I would wrap up early today. How can we glean some of that information on self-control? We can do this, and I did this in preparation for this message, through a word study in the Old Testament. First, if there's not much so, first, I noticed there's no self-control in the Old Testament, in the New King James. Well, yeah, that sounds a little funny. There's no English translation of the word self-control in the Old Testament. And there's no English translation of temperance. But remember, Merriam-Webster's identified restraint, a synonym for temperance in its definition. So there's actually a lot in the Old Testament on restraint, and we will be keying in on that throughout the remainder of the sermon. So one, if you can't find the concept that you're looking for in the Old Testament or in your Bible study, a tip for Bible study is look at the synonyms and see if you can get on a roll with synonyms, a synonym roll. Start an online lexicon or concordance search for a word that pops up, either online or through the book there, so that once you find restraint or you find in something like that through the Bible study, identify through Strong's help where all it is throughout the Bible. And then identify the scriptures that are relevant to your study throughout. So those are some pointers to take home on a word study, Bible study, if you want to look into that in your personal Bible study. These expanded biblical concepts of godly self-control, these are the concepts that came through that process. And we'll be going into these more throughout the remainder of the sermon. H. 3607, to restrain or show self-control by a sudden stopping. H. 1219, to restrain or show self-control by walling off. To show self-control or restraint through an emotional holding back. To restrain or show self-control by a weakening. An infertile self-control or an infertile restraint. To demonstrate self-control by infertility. That's actually given in a couple of different examples, couple different Hebrew words. And H1639 in Strong's, a pulled back restraint or self-control. Pulling your punches, as we would say in America. A pulled back restraint. H2296, a girded or bound but ready to act restraint or self-control. A girded or bound, but ready to act, restraint or self-control. And don't worry about writing all this down now if you're trying to. We'll explore all of these throughout the remainder of this message. So you can see that adding a little bit of effort into looking up a topic through a topical word study, through Strong's and the lexicon and online tools, it adds biblical depth to our understanding of self-control, doesn't it? What did you think when you saw the title of self-control a few minutes ago? Did you have the concepts of suddenly stopping, walling off, emotionally holding back, weakening an item, making a thing infertile, physically pulling back, pulling your punches, or girding or binding a thing that is ready to go. That's a lot of different, a lot of content and a lot of different ways of coming at self-control, isn't it? Maybe one or two of these concepts were in our mind, but surely no one had all of these concepts in their mind when they were considering reviewing godly self-control. Before we explore the Old Testament and go into each of those definitions of self-control, I'm going to talk about another biblical tool that I used in this Bible study called the law of first mention in biblical studies. The law or principle or rule of first mention, it's a guideline that some people use for defining and studying scripture. The law states that the first mention of a particular word in the Bible must be the most pertinent definition of that concept. The reasoning is that the Bible's first mention of a concept is the simplest and clearest presentation. And then doctrines are built around that first introduction of a concept. So the principle states, to fully understand an important complex theological concept, students are advised to start with its first mention and explore the definition from that framework. In other words, in some instances, the first time a word is mentioned in the Bible is the best definition of that concept. And that source on that definition came from gotquestions.org/law/of/first/mention.html for those on the audio. We will use the concept of this law of first mention to flesh out the definitions of restraint that we are going to look at throughout the remainder of this message and see how we can learn about restraint and self-control using that principle. So, the first principle of restraint or self-control that we're going to review is a sudden stopping. And I believe that's pronounced kala. Randy, is that kala?
That's a translation.
Right.
If you had the original Greek word up there, I can see what it is.
Yeah.
That makes it, it could either be kala or kala.
Yeah. So we're not going to stress the pronunciation since it's me giving this message. The law of first mention passage is found in Genesis 8, verse 2. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rains from heaven were restrained. The rains from heaven were restrained. That's talking about the rains from the flood, the Noachian flood, just suddenly stopping. Those rains just suddenly stopping. And those rains stopped at the appointed time, and they were suddenly restrained. So we have a concept here of this timing of self-control or restraint is abrupt, it's sudden, and it's powerful. A passage that connects this law of first mention to restraint, or connects this type of definition of restraint to self-control, is found in Psalms 119. The passage is 97 through 104. Let's go ahead and read that one together. Psalms 119, 97 through 104. Okay, and this is the Hebrew alphabet, Mem. Psalms 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. We see through this passage in verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. That is where this word, H3607, is found. The author of Psalms 119 is telling us here that they held back their feet from evil. They stopped in their tracks. Their feet might have been doing something before, but upon instruction of God's words, they stopped. Like rain in the flood, they just stopped. So that's we can get an understanding for that specific type of self-control. Now we'll explore a second type of self-control, the walled-off self-control or self-discipline. And that is Strong's Hebrew word 1219. 1219. The walled off self-discipline or self-control. This is a verb to cut off, to make inaccessible, especially by fortifying, to enclose. The passage of this first mention shows actually a poetic play on words in the original Hebrew when you understand that definition. And there is much poetic structure of the Bible that we miss as we read it in the English. So as you do word studies, I invite you to kind of search out the kind of the hidden little nuances of the original Hebrew or Greek. The passage of first mention appears at the Tower of Babel. Let's read that together in Genesis 11, verses 3 through 6. Genesis 11, starting in verse 3. Genesis 11 and verse 3. And here again, this is at the construction of the Tower of Babel. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language. And that is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So we see here in this passage in verse 6 when the scripture says, now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. The text is actually stating, now nothing they propose to do will be walled off from them. So you can kind of see here the little poetic jab at the builders of the tower. The builders are in construction. And God is saying, well, if they're all united like that, nothing is going to be walled off from them as they build that. So in English, something like, oh, look, they're building a huge tower with bricks. Nothing they propose to do will be walled off. And then God does something to wall them off. He, of course, as we know, disperses them by confusing their language. So that was the second principle of self-control, a walling off. Here's the third one. Oh, no, we're still in the second one. Apologies. Let's look at how this same word is used in the concept of self-controlling restraint. Let's read that together in Jeremiah 33, verse 1. Jeremiah 33, verse 1. This is still that walled off restraint. Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 4. So we'll start in verse 1 of Jeremiah 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus says the Lord, who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. For thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the king of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege mounds and the sword. So we see here in this passage that controlling restraint of walling off in verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you a great and mighty thing. Here in this passage, mighty things is translated from that same Hebrew word of walled off, which you do not know. Again, this seems to be kind of a poetic play on words on the original topic material of Hebrews 33 verses 1 through 4 here. Look at verse 4 in the NLT, New Living Translation. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. You have torn down the houses of the cities and even the king's palace to get materials to strengthen the walls against the siege ramps and swords of the enemy. So we see here in this whole passage of construction and constructing things that God is showing us that he can remove his mighty restraint, his walled off restraint. And he chooses to do this. He chooses to remove his walled off restraint to show things to his people. We can use this same restraint to build walls around those things which we must demonstrate self-control towards. We can use our self-control to literally wall off certain things that we need to wall off. That is a type of self-control. Let's look at another form of biblical self-control, an emotional held back self-control. That is H662 in Strong's, H662. The law of first mention passage that talks about this held back emotional strain restraint is where Joseph is controlling his emotions from his brothers. And when he newly was introduced to them and his new brother Benjamin at Egypt. Let's look at that in Genesis 43 and verse 29. We'll see Joseph's reaction and the description of this emotional held back restraint. Genesis 43, starting in 29, and we'll read through verse 31. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep, because remember, he's still feigning like he doesn't know them here. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, Serve the bread. We can see the description of this restraint in verse 31 here, when Joseph washed his face and he restrained himself. So he was very emotional. He went somewhere to restrain his emotions, and then he came back and said, Serve the bread. The Bible mentions God using the self-control over in Isaiah 64. Let's look at Isaiah 64 and verse 8 through 12 together. Isaiah 64 and verse 8. And we'll read through verse 12. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter. And all we are the work of, your hands. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we are all your people. Your holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our fathers praised you, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid to waste. Will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely? We see this type of emotionally held back restraint is used in verse 12. Will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely? Knowing that this is defined as an emotional restraint, as we see from the first use of it in Joseph's story, it really kind of adds some robust meaning here to this verse, doesn't it? Kind of showing that emotion on God's behalf for us here. We can perhaps more appropriately picture God in this Isaiah 64 passage as emotionally restraining himself from intervening in our affairs when he might want to, but he knows that he needs to allow somebody to suffer the consequences of their actions for a godly purpose. Now that we know that this emotional held-back restraint is a type of biblical restraint, we can use this self-control in our lives. Sometimes we need to be able to muster up this godly self-control of emotional self-restraint, even when it elicits a strong emotional reaction from us or those around us. Next, let's talk about a self-control through a weakening. A self-control through a weakening of something. That is Strong's word, H3543. H3543. The law of first mention passage for this type of self-control or restraint comes from Genesis 27, verse 1. You don't have to turn there, but this is up the passage that states that Isaac's eyes were getting dim. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older brother, and said to him, "My son," and he answered, "Here am I." So we see here that this is a weakening of the eyes in this Genesis 27 verse 1. But we'll also see the same type of lack of self-control in 1 Samuel 3, in Samuel's first prophecy. So let's read 1 Samuel 3, and we'll read verses 1 and 2, and then 10 through 14. 1 Samuel 3. And we'll start in verse 1. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. So Samuel's still young and ministering before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Verse 2. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was laying down in his place, where his eyes had began to grow so dim they could not see. So Eli is also losing his sight as an old man. Now let's go to verse 10 of this passage. We'll read 10 through 14. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever in the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and did not restrain themselves. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So we see here in this passage that verse 13 of this passage Eli did not restrain his vile sons in verse 13. And this is the same word that was used for the dimming of the eyes, the dimming of the eyes. So we see here another kind of poetic play on words in this passage. Eli's eyes had started to grow dim or weak in his old age. And Eli is being judged by God in a prophecy that Samuel is going to deliver in verse 13 because he did not restrain his evil sons. And the restraint there is the same word as dimming of the eyes. So there's something poetic to that in the original Hebrew. Knowing that there is a godly restraint that weakens something, how can we use that in our battles where we are employing self-control? Maybe we have a matter in life where we are battling that we can't just have a mighty cutting off of it, like the Noachian flood. Maybe we can't stop something immediately, like the Noachian flood rains. But maybe we can slowly weaken something that we need to stop slowly over time. We can employ this type of self-control, like the dimming of the eyes over time. So not every problem requires the same approach at self-control. The next type of self-control we'll talk about is self-control associated with infertility. Self-control associated with infertility. H4513 and H6113. The laws of first mentioned passages for these are H43:1-3, and Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld you from the fruit of your womb?" So Jacob's telling that to Rachel in an angry manner, and withheld there is an infertile restraint. And there's another Hebrew word, H6113, that is used in almost the same matter with Sarai and Abram in Genesis 16, verse 2. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid, and perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. So H4513 is demonstrated in self-control in Proverbs 1, verses 10 through 15. Let's look at that together. Proverbs 1, verses 10 through 15. Proverbs 1, and starting in verse 10, and keep in mind, we're looking for the restraint here. Proverbs 1, verses 10. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause." Verse 12. "Let us swallow them alive in Sheol, in the hole, like those who go down into the pit." Verse 13. "We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil." So these evil men wanted to capture and kill and spoil and plunder. Verse 14. "Cast in your lot among us. Let us have all in one purse." Verse 15. "My son, do not walk in the way with them." Do not walk in the way with those type of people. Verse 15. We see that type of infertile restraint here. Keep your foot from their path. "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path." So that "keep your foot" there is a type of infertile restraint. So we need to keep the sinner's path infertile in our life. We don't want to let it take seed in our life. We want to keep it, the sinner's way, infertile. Another self-control word that deals with infertility is Strong's H6113. Strong's H6113. It's mentioned in self-control in Job 4, verses 1 through 2. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it here. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, so he's answering Job here. This Temanite has all the answers to Job's problems. If one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Eliphaz the Temanite had to get his opinions out regarding Job's life. He couldn't keep those thoughts from not germinating. He had to deliver them. He couldn't show the self-control in keeping quiet there, or letting his remarks, which might not have been of much benefit to Job, remain infertile. We need to take the advice of the Proverb 1:15 here to the son, and do not give birth to the way of sin. Just don't fertile those grounds and those paths. That brings us to another form of restraint or self-control, a physically held back, reserved restraint. The law first mentioned in this passage is in Exodus 5, verses 6 through 9. Let's look at that together, and we'll see how this is described in the scripture. Exodus 5, verse 6. So this is at the time of the Exodus, getting ready for the Exodus. In Exodus 5 and verse 6, and we'll read through verse 9. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, this is not the Exodus, this is before the Exodus. This is while they're making bricks and still enslaved. Exodus 5 and verse 6. So that same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give people the straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it. So we're going to give them less, and we're going to expect them to do more, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our gods. Verse 9, let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. So in here we see the Pharaoh mentioned in verse 8, you shall not reduce it. You shall not reduce their workload in verse 8. So it's pulling back the work. So don't hold back the brick quota, boys. You keep that up without the straw. So don't let those Hebrew slaves pull their punches with their quotas. So the mention of self-control, this is mentioned in self-control around the concept of God's word twice. Once in Deuteronomy 12, verse 29 through 32. Let's turn there. And it's interesting to note that this type of self-control is mentioned specifically around God's word in these two passages about God's word. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29. And we'll read verses 29 through 32. This is a command to the nation of Israel. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them, after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire about their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I likewise will do also. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. And whatever I command you, be careful to observe it, and you shall not add to it, nor take away from it. And we see in verse 32, this Hebrew word of this H1639 word for restraint. You shall not take away from it, in verse 32. This command is a command to not pull any punches. Don't hold back from the content of God's word. Jeremiah is also reminded of this command in his ministry. You don't have to turn there, but I'll note. In Jeremiah 26 and verse 2, it states, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house." So this is to Jeremiah. "And speak to the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not diminish it." Do not diminish a word. So that "diminish" there is the same word. Don't hold back from God's word. So that type of self-restraint is one that we can't pull punches on. Don't pull punches on that type of self-restraint, unless you need to appropriately restrain yourself from pulling a punch. And the final concept of self-control that we'll review is Hebrews 22:96. Hebrews 22:96, a girded or bound but ready self-restraint. A girded but bound and ready self-restraint. The law first mentioned in this passage is Exodus 12, verse 11, and this is where it's talking about the Exodus. You don't have to turn there, but Exodus 12, 11 states, "Thus you shall eat it, the Passover, with your loins girded," so that H-22-96, "your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So this is a girded or bound self-restraint that is connected with a readiness for battle or big things with it. This type of self-restraint is found with girding weapons, girding your loins for movement, like the Exodus here, girding your weapons, girding the clothes of the high priest. So this is a bound restraint that is ready for action. God uses this self-restraint right now. Let's Psalm 76, verse 10 shows us that he will unbind that restraint on the judgment day. Let's look at that at Psalms 76, and we'll read verses 7 through 12. As I believe we're turning to my last passage, Psalm 76, verse 7. And we'll read verses 7 through 12. So, if your Bible has a heading inserted in English, like mine does under Psalm 76, this heading in my Bible talks about the majesty of God in judgment. So that's the topic here. Starting in verse 7, talking about God. "You yourself are to be feared, and who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still." Verse 9 of Psalm 77. "When God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth," Selah, "surely the wrath of man shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath you shall gird yourself. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of the princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth." So we see here in verse 10, God has girded himself with the remainder of his wrath. H-22-96, God has girded himself in verse 10 with the remainder of his wrath. So we see here that God has his wrath bound like a girded sword for judgment day. Sometimes self-restraint on our part requires a binding of our physical actions towards a situation, or words that we really want to say that we think that we might even be in the right. This is that type of restraint that we restrain when we need to. So, in summary, a recap of lessons learned. We talked about approaches to Bible study word searches. Sometimes a biblical topic of study requires more of an in-depth look. You can take an in-depth approach through a topic through biblical word studies. Look up English synonyms of a topic if you want to study it online. And in accordance or a lexicon. Note the original Hebrew or Greek word that is being used in each passage of interest. Follow that original word by looking up its usage in all the scriptures that it has a numbered Strong's entry. You can learn a lot through a Bible study this way. You can learn about the biblical definition through its word through multiple uses. You can learn about its definition through the law of first mention. And you can look for the poetic plays on words that are in the text in the original Hebrew or Greek that you might have previously missed in a passage. Those nuggets are all throughout the Bible. God is more witty than we give him credit for. And when we study his word, we discover that. Lesson number two is that by using these Bible study tools in this sermon, we have learned that the Bible has a lot to say on the godly fruit of self-control. If we didn't employ this Bible study concepts, we might have missed that godly self-control involves suddenly stopping an activity, like the Noachian flood rain stopped. Walling off an item, like God walled off the builders of the Tower of Babel by confusing their speech. Emotionally holding back a thing, like Joseph held his overwhelming emotions back at meeting Benjamin and his other brothers in Egypt. Slowly weakening an item, like the prophet Eli's eyes were weakened over time. Making a thing infertile, like Rachel and Sarah were for many years. Physically holding back or pulling your punches, like the Pharaoh accused the Israelite slaves of holding back their brick production. Or girding and binding a thing that's ready to go, like the loins of the Israelites were girded up and ready for a trip on the Exodus. Brethren, these are all ways that we can and should utilize godly self-control in our lives. So may our Bible studies be more powerful throughout the rich usage of biblical word studies and the tools we've discussed today. And may we all develop a more deeper understanding of godly self-control and use that richness to improve our walk with God. May you all have a blessed Sabbath.